voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing one nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Well, Mr. Godecker, we're live. Live on the internet, broadcasting from the DoubleTree Hotel here in, was it the Campbell Center? It was like a comedy store next door.
Yeah, the Campbell Center.
Yeah. Guess what? It's game day, dude.
It is game day. I'm very excited to be here with you on this blessed Saturday morning.
You were like under the weather. You got like a cold going.
I've got a cold going. I've got a broken tooth going. I've had a rough week. I've been up at 4 a.m. on a couple days out at apartment fires, you know, serving the community, basically doing my job.
Yeah, there you go. It's good that you're powering through. You're doing what you have to do. And today, let's hope that the boys in green, well, technically white, we're going to be wearing like a white. Well, so guys in white with green trim. Let's hope they go out there and do what they're supposed to do. And that's what up on SMU. That's what we're here to talk about. That's why we woke up early on a Saturday morning to talk some football.
Yeah, this is our Christmas morning, like we called it a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we get to unveil our presence. We get to see Chris Kosh and his defense. We get to see, is Andrew McNulty improved? We get to see Jeffrey Wilson. You know, is he the player that the coaches pump him up to be? We get to see all those things. So I'm really excited. I'm just happy to be here, and I'm ready to watch some football.
Yeah, I know. Like, everybody, like you said, everybody got to open up their presents last week. They had, a full week of games to analyze and obsess over. And we are still saying, well, you know, we'll see what our quarterback looks like still.
Yeah.
So I guess we should start with the soccer team, as promised. Last night, they took on Lamar at home, and they whooped them 6-0 with some great goals by Rachel Holden. Carla Pineda scored two. She's the one that I told you that she was pretty awesome. They basically plays number 10. Marshall Davis got a goal. Torrey Phillips got a really ridiculous goal from, the top of the box to kind of seal it off. It was towards the end anyway. Rachel Holden, one of our best players, she kind of had a down season last season. I mentioned this, at least as far as scoring. But she was still kind of effective. She still led the line. Everybody was kind of looking out for her, and you know, other players were able to score. But this season, she's showing her all-around game because she was getting crosses in the box. She scored a goal, like I said. But she assisted on a couple others, or very nearly so. Like she got a hockey assist on a couple of them. So, they play Sunday. You might be recovering from tonight's, I guess, festivities. But they play TCU on the road Sunday at 7 p.m. So you can probably make your way out to Fort Worth and go see that. I will be on the road back to San Antonio, but I would stop. If you have the opportunity, go do it. Go check out these girls are good.
Yeah. Isn't that the time the Cowboys are playing, too?
Don't they play? It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to go there.
Oh, man, that's just...
I totally forgot about
that. Nobody wants to watch the Cowboys, right?
Are they popular around here? I didn't know. Go check it out if you're not into football. There's a lot of people that are not into football, pro football, only into college football. So, that's a nice alternative if you don't want to be, at home watching it.
Is it available for streaming live?
Yeah, you can access it on Mean Green All Access. Not tomorrow's game, but generally the soccer team. Yeah. I think you have to buy TCU's feed. I don't want to give TCU any money. Yeah. So that's fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some football games. Conference USA games went on.
Conference USA.
Last night, Thursday night. Thursday night was a huge matchup at Conference USA. You had Louisiana Tech picked to be Conference USA West champs. Going up against Western Kentucky, basically the biggest news that came out of that game was the star running back for Western Kentucky, Leon Allen. He tore up his knee, and he'll be out for the rest of the season. So that kind of affects their offense because he was a really big part of their offense before he got injured. I don't know if you saw the hit on him, but it was one of those just gruesome, helmet to knee going the wrong way. So you feel bad for a kid, especially a guy that had some pretty big draft stock. He's probably going to get drafted next year or so. But Western Kentucky was able to top Louisiana Tech 41-38. Brandon Daugherty, he had 441 yards in that game. Again, the Conference USA's top quarterback. I was really interested to watch how Jeff Driscoll did, coming from Florida, the transfer starting for Louisiana Tech. And he played pretty good, too. He had 357, threw two TDs, one interception. But, again, Western Kentucky wanted revenge for the blowout that they faced last year at Louisiana Tech. So they picked up a pretty big win. And the other game was Miami and FAU. Miami was struggling against FAU in the first half. Driscoll's brother, he came in and played for injured Jaquiz Johnson.
That guy's good. I like that guy.
Yeah, apparently I think he rolled his ankle. And Driscoll's brother, he played well for a half before Miami started to kind of put it on and ended up winning that game 44-20. So FAU, they had Miami at home. Of course, how do they get Miami at home? But, yeah. Again, we can't get anybody at home. I don't know how that happens. But still, FAU, they showed out well for a half, and Miami put it on them in the second half because, you know, Al Golden, he's facing a little hot seat over there in Miami. He's really got to win this year.
Yeah, I think if there was ever a time for FAU to kind of maybe jump up and bite somebody, at least bite big-time Miami, it was then. I don't. They're not quite ready for that jump, but you know, I was mostly surprised by that Western Kentucky game because they came out and looked good. I only got to watch like snippets of it because we were riding up from San Antonio on that night, and you know, so I kind of fell asleep halfway through. So I woke up like at 5. See, I'm dedicated, ladies and gentlemen. Dedicated. Yeah. So I mean, do you? I guess everybody was like, well, La Tech's the class of the conference. La Tech, Western Kentucky, and Marshall is kind of what we're talking about here. Did that really tell us anything about this conference aside from, well, they just beat them at home? You don't know.
I mean, it's a win that Western Kentucky really needed to have to protect their home field because you saw Marshall play against Purdue. They looked pretty good with Birdsong filling in for Rakeem Cato.
Yeah.
So they look like they were able to pick up where they left off last year. So Western Kentucky, they had to have this win for Louisiana Tech. It doesn't mean too much. You just never want to start off conference with a loss.
Right.
But they came back. They played well in a hostile environment. So I think Louisiana Tech feels good about where they're at. They feel good about Driscoll playing well. And they feel good about, you know, their weapons in that game. Let me see, Dixon. Dixon had 168 yards on 22 carries, and I just think he's one of the most underrated running backs in all of college football.
Yeah, and he'll throw hands out there, man. You get him kind of angry, start throwing punches.
Yeah, there was one run, I think it was in the second half or maybe right before halftime. Dixon, he ran around the left edge, and he hurdled a guy, and then he kind of just slowed up, and the defensive coordinator's son at Western Kentucky, Nick Holt's son, he came over there and just lit him up. I mean, I've never seen Dixon get lit up that bad. I mean, he just blew him up. And after that, he ran tough. But, you know, it's just one of those things, college football. Any game of football, you can't tiptoe, especially after you hurdle. It just looks like he was preparing to take the hit.
Yeah, so like you made a good point about, like, things, you know, you don't want to start off the conference with the loss, right? So Western Kentucky started out against Louisiana Tech, and they take on Indiana and then Miami of Ohio in the rest of September. So, you know, their next conference game is against Rice at Rice. So it's, you know, for them, they're riding high. They're, like, going to be 1-0 for 3 weeks. And Louisiana Tech, conversely, so who do they take on? Check. La Tech takes on... They have a big game. I mean, this is a big game. And then
this was certainly a big game.
And then they take on Kansas State. You know what it is? After us?
And that's a winnable game for them, too. We get to see Kansas State versus UTSA today. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonder if the Kansas State band will come out with any unique formations today.
yeah, that would be fun. I think, what did you think about that whole Kansas thing? I thought that was... I thought it was funny. You kind of maybe slap him on the wrist, but you don't suspend a guy. I think you make it too big of a deal.
Yeah, who suspends the band director? I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of with William Shatner on this. You know, we need to do Big 12 officials there. But I mean, it was kind of funny. But yeah, don't suspend the band director.
Yeah, that was
as Brett McMurray, I think it was McMurray, the guy who tweets for ESPN, misplaced his name, but he said that if you want to have real punishment for the band director, make him be Kansas's quarterback for a game.
Yeah, Kansas is terrible. All right, so now for the big stuff, SMU Tough. Where do we even begin with this one, Mr. Greg Godecker?
Well, finally we released the depth chart, so I think we should start with what are your thoughts on the guys that are listed as the starters, listed as the backups to the starters. Do you have any thoughts? I know a lot of people talked about Brandon Gardner starting at that outside linebacker position over Sed Ellis, who's probably the most talented linebacker we may have. Some other thoughts are...
Yeah, well, all right. So I think the biggest change is... the thing that's most surprising is that there's a lot of names on here that are, you know, second or third on the list. And we were thinking they're going to be starters. Guys like Jamal Marshall, linebackers that you said. We weren't really expecting Brandon Garner to start there. But then again, that's not really that surprising because those guys were penciled in, you know, based on, like, previous season's, you know, resume. Now they've had time in spring, they've had time in the fall, so they think they can come out and do some things today. I think for me, Jamal Marshall is going to be backing up Chad Davis and going to be playing spot duty. I figured that was the case when they first announced it. I think I forgot what I said on the show. When they announced it, they're like, Jamal Marshall. I was like, yeah, we'll see how he transitions, right? Everybody says he's good, but we'll see how he transitions. And when you're doing, like, you know, physical drills, you're doing sprint work, you're doing this, that, and other, you look great. But when it comes time to defend, you know, a drive, a two-minute drive, how do you look? Are you able to, you know, to play cornerback? And it's more than just speed and power. And apparently he's not able to do that as well as Chad Davis is. And that's really the lesson there. Or maybe, I don't know. I have no idea what to say there.
Well, you know, Marshall came in as a corner, moved to linebacker, and now he's back to corner. Chad Davis, always been a corner. So maybe it's Marshall just not ready to play the position, or he's still struggling with, you know, the transition a little bit. But still, they're going to need him today.
Yeah. Against Cortland Sutton going deep.
Yeah, I think that would be a really interesting matchup to watch.
And I'm hearing some rumors. People have been mentioning it here and there. And none of this is, like, in stone, and it's not very official at all.
Hit the Mean Green Nation breaking news.
Boom, boom, boom. That Kenny Byers might have a knock. He might be injured. He might not be ready to go today.
That,
I don't like that. Mostly because Kenny Byers is a MGN favorite. I like the way he tackles, and I don't know if anybody else can tackle the way he can, but maybe they can defend the deep ball a little bit better than Kenny. We noticed that nobody's been really talking about him. Like, you know, you would think that he's like a senior now?
Mm-hmm.
That people would be, you know, he'd be kind of like in the conversation about this team, but you don't really hear anything about that.
I thought it was interesting. Who's backing up Kenny Byers right there?
Zach Whitfield.
So a guy that has some experience. I didn't necessarily think we'd see him on the two deep, just especially of the reason that Mac was, you know, pumping up Preston and Nate Brooks, the freshman that came in there. So I was kind of expecting maybe to see those guys behind Byers. But to see Zach Whitfield there maybe confirms the point that maybe there is something going on, because you want a guy that's experienced to start at that corner position. You don't really want a true freshman coming in against a team like SMU that can burn you deep, and there's so much play recognition that's going to go on for these guys in the secondary.
Yeah, so I think those are the big question marks. I think the popular one, by the way, there's a lot of people that still ask, Dejon Williams is not on the team anymore. A couple people, like, walked up even at the alumni thing. Like, so what happened to Dejon? Like, oh, he's He's been gone for a while. He's at A&M Commerce or something like that. So, yeah, the starting quarterback will be Andrew McNulty. Josh Greer is his backup. And, hey, do you notice a trend with, like, McCartney's? Like, you bring in a guy, a young guy with a lot of talent, you talk him up, and then he'll put the experienced person in the starting position and to back up that position. So the guy with a lot of hype is always the third or fourth string.
Yeah, I think where he's probably thinking that these freshmen or these young guys come in as special teams. I mean, special teams is a huge part of what North Texas does and the reason that they can be successful. So he probably sees these guys making contributions on special teams and maybe playing, you know, a couple snaps during actual, you know, offense-defense situations. So that's probably why he kind of talks them up. But, I mean, the guys that he talked up, Roderick Young, the defensive tackle, everybody's excited to see him because he's a large body, and we need large bodies in the middle to kind of shore up the run defense. So I know a lot of people are excited to see him.
Yeah, and we're going to get to this in a little bit when we talk about the SMU offense versus our defense. Yeah, we're going to need to stop the inside run. Their whole thing starts with that inside run. So you need big guys in there. Everything's easier when you have one of your guys in the backfield blowing up their handoff.
Right.
So anybody else stand out on this depth chart here that you
want to make mention? I think it'll be interesting to see who starts between Scott and Finney. I know Scott's listed first, but they put the little or in there, you know, like everybody hates to see as a fan. I have a feeling we'll see Scott on first and second down or running situations. I think he's more of a run defender. I think Finney is more of a coverage linebacker. He's better in space. I think he's a little bit more agile, a little bit more athletic. So that's probably how you're going to see that transition play out. Let's see what else we got. You know, I'm excited to see James Gray and McLean at safety. And we got to see McLean a little bit last year. Once he moved his way into the starting position, but we really don't know a whole lot about James Gray other than he can make a backflip and catch a football. So maybe he should be a wide receiver too. See what else. The Jimerson being listed as the backup running back with an or for Andrew Tucker. That was a little interesting there.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Again, I have a hard time even like believing these depth charts a lot of times. I'm like, they write them up and it's really to throw everybody off or to, you know, this, that, and the other.
I think
when the game time comes out,
yeah,
we see something different, especially based on matchups.
Yeah, believe in the starters, but then situational football. Like,
yeah,
I believe that we're going to see Willie Ivory play. He's just too explosive not to put out there on the field. So maybe he's a third down back. Or, you know, it would be kind of fun to watch Jeffrey Wilson get in the backfield with Ivory at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different things we can see this today.
And then, you know, again, it doesn't matter what the lineup is, the first lineup, you know, where we have, like, three wide receivers listed. I mean, you know, like, again, that does change. I remember Darius Terrell laughing at the depth chart when it came out last season because he was like, yeah, that's not how we're going to line up in the first. So you never know. Like you said, the important things are, like, the quarterback. That matters. Like, running backs are going to rotate, so it doesn't really matter. Receivers are going to rotate. The linemen, the offensive linemen, those are pretty much set in stone with occasional swaps. Defensive linemen, they're going to rotate. Situational swapping for the corners, they're going to switch. You know, a guy's going to move to nickel here and there. Those are going to swap. Linebackers are going to be some swapping, but middle linebacker's probably going to stay there.
Yeah, the one lineup I really want to see is when we get SMU into a third and long situation where we have three or four defensive ends that can really rush the passer, really get after him, like Tillman Johnson, Combs, who's a pass rushing specialist, Chad Polk, even Jerrion Roberts could get after the passer. What is Kevin Patrick's lineup going to look like on the defensive line?
Yeah, I think that's when we can wreak havoc, when we can pin, you know, the cliche to say, you know, pin your ears back and get after the quarterback. But, I mean, that's really what you want. It's the ideal scenario. And I guess we can kind of we can move on to the next part. You have here bye week versus Plains. What do you mean by that, guy?
Well, I just wanted your thoughts on, and I mentioned this a little bit on the Go Mean Green website, was do you think it's easier for SMU to have not seen North Texas and to make those adjustments at halftime or after they've seen them for a few series? Or do you think it's easier for North Texas coming into the first game? You know who your opponent is. You know what they're going to do on offense. You know what their talent and their abilities are, their skill position players. But you haven't worked out the kinks of playing that first game. What do you think is easier, and who do you think has an advantage, if there's even one at all?
I mean, before you can make adjustments to another team, you have to know yourself. So in that respect, SMU has the advantage. They saw what their guys could do, you know, in game situations. So, you know, whatever, you know, aspirations they had, plans they had for their guys, they've seen them out there, and so they have a better understanding of what they can do. I mean, and really, that's how you have to play this game. Like, you know your team, you know what you can do, and you're making slight adjustments to the other team, but you're not making wholesale changes. If you are, then, I mean, you know, you're either a genius or you're going to be fired really quickly, because you're not going to say, well, we've been lining up in 4-3. We know this other team has problems with 3-4, so now we're going to play some 3-4 defense. I mean, you can maybe give them some 3-4 looks, or you can do some kind of tweaks here and there, but you're not going to just change your whole defensive philosophy or something like that. So,
right.
So I think the advantage is with SMU in this respect, that they saw what their guys could do. They've been out there. We still don't know. We still, you know, have question marks about a lot of these guys in game situations, you know, especially on the road where we played poorly. You know, they have all the advantage in terms of that there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm totally with you. I think SMU has a slight advantage of having played their first game, working out some of those kinks. I think North Texas, they may, you know, catch SMU off guard a little bit at first, but again, I don't think our offense is going to be that much different than it was last year. I think we're going to see a lot of the same plays, just at a faster pace.
So a little bit University of Texas there, is that what you're saying?
I don't think it'll be that bad, but, you know.
I'm hoping. I was looking at that, right? It's, you know, it's in Texas. It's hard to get away from UT talk. And, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, I'm here crossing my fingers, you know, praying to the good Lord above. Please don't let us have that same conversation that every, like, Barking Carnival's having or the other one's having. Because, like, let's not fire our offensive coordinator immediately after this game. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, I don't want to see that either.
Because then, I mean, they're just on fire. I don't want to see that. And I'm concerned about that, because we were about as poor, relatively speaking, as University of Texas was last season. And they have a lot of question marks. And, I mean, I think from our end, it was pretty much just the quarterback. I keep talking about the quarterback. I know we have some listeners. If you guys want to tweet at us, it's at Mean Green Nation or at MGN_breakdown, then we can get your thoughts on what's going on here. There's a comment thing, but I think you have to sign up on Mixlr, so that maybe is like takes too long. So just tweet at us, or even send us an email. I have my email open if you absolutely need to get a comment in.
Or if you're staying at the DoubleTree Hotel, just come on down and say hello.
You come on down and say hello. We were originally going to do this from the tailgate spot, like outside the arena, the stadium, but it's a little pricey out there. So we're doing it right here in the lovely lobby of the DoubleTree Hotel. All right, so back to talk here. Yeah, I think they have the advantage in the bye week, and it's probably reflected. You have three advantages, right? I mean, well, your normal home field advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the fact that they've already had seen their guys live and playing and things.
Right.
And they have the fact, and this is kind of goes with one, that we are terrible on the road. Like, we are just, like, the worst team. You know, we're a completely different team.
Careful now. RV says this is a home game, right?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that I think we sold out our allotment there or something like that, and we're asking for more tickets, so.
Yeah, the student allotment was sold out. Nobody knows exact figures of how many tickets were sold, or then you have the StubHubs and the Ticketmasters and all that. I'd say we see between 5,000, 7,000 fans show up tonight.
Last I checked, and this was Thursday, I think, you could get some seats for like $14 in like section 123, which is like, you know, 50-yard line section. So you might check StubHub or SeatGeek or something like that, guys, in case you're still looking for tickets. I know some people are still looking for something. You know, I got the same seats for like $30-$40, whatever it was. So you're making out with the deal.
I went to StubHub, so I didn't go through the official thing. Yeah.
I got them earlier because they had to come up. I can't be playing a step-up game. My wife's picky. She's like, I need to sit here at this. So, yeah, we'll be there at the game. Next week for the Rice game, we'll be at Apogee. We'll be out in the tailgate spot, and we'll be doing this for, you know, as long as we're sober, I guess, is probably what's going to happen.
Adam won't be sober. I will be sober, so it'll be quite funny.
Well, that's even better. Maybe my points will be better towards the end of the podcast. Okay, so moving on.
Let's get into the chess match. What I think is the biggest chess match in this game is Chris Kosh versus Chad Morris. Our defense versus their offense.
Yeah. I wrote a little bit about this. And you talked a little bit about it in your breakdown. I wrote a little bit about it. Basically, throughout the week, I was looking at some of their game. There's a lot of talk about Chad Morris and how he's like an offensive innovator. But I think for the simple summation of it is that he likes to run the ball. He's a little bit Gus Malzahn. He's a little bit Art Briles. And he studied under some of the air raid people. So he knows all the concepts. And really, everybody kind of knows some of these air raid concepts.
Yeah.
The thing is that he has a dynamic offense that can run the ball and likes to go deep. And so one sets up the other. He likes the power read. He likes a mobile quarterback that can complement the inside dive. And then he likes to chuck it deep to get some big points on the board. And that's if you saw that in that 21-point outburst against Baylor. They ran the ball, or at least attempted to. Matt Davis got out of the pocket. He got some yards. He got a couple scrambles, a couple design runs, and they went deep to Cortland Sutton, among others, getting some points on the board.
Yeah, even though they have speedy wide receivers, Sutton is really their only true Chad Morris type of wide receiver, get down the field burner.
Yeah.
The other guys are kind of small, like the run and shoot type of wide receivers.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the thing about Morris that I think makes him difficult to defend is his offense challenges a defense, you know, in the middle and horizontally. So you have to really defend the whole field against him because you don't know where the play is going to go. You see those wide receiver jet motions, the jet sweeps. You'll see the zone reads off of those. You'll see just regular zone reads. You talked about the inside running game, whether it's the power with the guard pulling or whether it's just the straight dive. Those are their two key, you know, running styles. And North Texas has to be really solid up the middle if they're going to have any chance at slowing down SMU's offense.
Yeah, and they like to mix it up. So they do that inside zone, which is, you know, if you're any kind of familiar with the zone blocking scheme, it's basically, like, this is not a very good description of it, but it's the quickest way I can, you know, summarize it. It's basically kind of blocking what's in front of you. Instead of blocking a man, you block in front of you, and there's nobody in front of you. You help the guy next to you block his man. And so you create lanes, and the running back runs, figures out which lane is going to be open, and makes a cut and runs. It's a little bit of that Terrell Davis way back in 1998 when he was running that.
Yeah, Kubiak in the zone.
Yeah, so, it's one cut run, and they do it inside, meaning that they're not running towards the edge like you saw Terrell Davis looking for that outside zone. It's like right in the middle. They get inside, and they run. And they kind of do some like cross things where they have the fullback or the H-back come over and block the backside. Either defensive end or whatever.
I think it's actually their tight end, number 23, Jeremiah Gaines is his name.
And so then they mix that up because then you kind of get lulled into that and you know how they're going to block, or at least you think, and then they pull a guard and they have them run around in and they just hit you in the mouth with some power there. So that's kind of the idea. And once you're kind of sneaking up, you got some safeties walking up the line, maybe you're cheating, then they do some play action, they hit you over the top. That's really their offense in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think the group that has to be on point today is the linebacking crew, and they're probably the biggest question mark on the defense.
Yeah, that's a little bit concerning. I think our defensive line can rush the passer, but can they stop the run by themselves? You know, like, can they get in there, and like you're talking about TJ Tuulau, can he get in there and wreak some havoc and you know, make some plays to blow some of that stuff up so that way we don't have to, you know, do some run blitzes or stick our corners on an island and hope that they can guard those guys while also peeking into the backfield for Matt Davis.
I want to see the play recognition abilities of Blake Bean, being able to decipher what's going on out there. Brandon Gardner, we really haven't seen. We haven't seen him at all on the field. So
yeah,
how does he react to an up-tempo offense where he's having to make quick decisions? Fred Scott, we know a little bit about. Courtney Finney, we've seen him in the spring game, but you know, this is live. This is the next level. So that whole linebacking group, they have got to raise their level of play today if North Texas is going to be successful.
Yeah, and it's concerning. Whenever you have young players, you're not really concerned about their ability to keep up with upperclassmen in terms of like speed and power and this kind of thing. But it's their ability to diagnose a play and then immediately get back and diagnose another play. And those are the guys, sometimes they get too hyped, they're like, oh, I know this play, and then they get play actioned, and then they're way out of position, they get beat over the top or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember Scaldani's first season here, that happened a lot to us, first couple seasons. We were really good going downhill when we recognized the play, but then like a team like Arkansas State, and that's kind of what concerns me here, because Arkansas State was at the time coached by Gus Malzahn, and they, you know, Chad Morris kind of does some of these similar things. They'll get you going one way and then hit you the other way. And that's what I'm scared of.
Really. Right. But, you know, in the end, we don't know what Chris Kosh is going to do. We don't know if we're going to be more man coverage or we're going to be more quarters. I know Byers, you know, mentioned that we'd probably be more quarters coverage. We don't know how often is he going to blitz. How aggressive are we going to be? Are we going to do lots of stunts on the defensive line? We really don't know what Chris Kosh is going to bring to our defense. So it's hard to sit here and say, well, SMU has the advantage. We say SMU has the advantage because we know what Chad Morris does, and we know that it's successful. We don't necessarily know what Chris Kosh is going to do with North Texas's defense.
Yeah.
He's been successful at other places for short periods of time, but you know, he's also had like 10 jobs, so he hasn't really stuck at one place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that like I think they're going to score some points, but we need to not allow them 40 and keep them in the, you know, let's say 25 to 35 range. I think that's a decent, you know, more. We want to obviously keep them more than 25, but I don't think, you know, we should be upset if they come out and they score a couple touchdowns right away or something like that, or they move the ball well, because Chad Moore's coach teams do that. We don't want to give up big plays. We want to make them take 10 plays to get down and score. You know, get some variance in there, make their quarterback who has some talent but is also a freshman, make him make some mistakes. You know?
Yeah.
Make him try to get it. He can scramble out and get him make some plays, but let's make him do that, and then he'll try to force a ball in there that he shouldn't and get a pick.
Yeah, everybody saw Matt Davis last week scrambling around. And that was another thing. The linebackers have to be able to key on Davis and make sure that he's accounted for in the zone read. Somebody stays home and accounts for him. But one of the things, you know, everybody saw last week was Matt Davis was, you know, making those unscheduled runs. He was getting outside the pocket. The Baylor defensive end wasn't Sean Oakman. He was suspended for that first game. And he was getting too far up the field.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is he was allowing Davis an easy escape route. Basically, Davis just had to step up to his left, and there was open field in front of him. Anytime you have a mobile quarterback, I always believe that you want to squeeze him like an orange. You want to surround him, you know, not let him step up in the pocket, not give him those escape routes, stay even with him so that if he does step up, you can shed your block. If he does want to go, try to go around to the outside, you can still shed your block and you can keep your contain. So keeping Matt Davis contained from the defensive end standpoint and the defensive tackles, they don't necessarily have to, you know, create like a huge pass rush, but they just have to cave the pocket.
Yeah.
They have to create, you know, a push basically.
Yeah.
Because, and some of the throws he struggled with last week are the ones where he couldn't, you know, step up in the pocket. He couldn't ride up in there and see the whole field. He's a short guy too. He's only 6 foot.
Yeah.
So if you take away his throwing lanes and viewing lanes, he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's not some All-American like North Texas fans are pumping him up to be.
Yeah. That was the thing is that, like, I went to the alumni event and there was a lot of people concerned, let's say, about Matt Davis. I think if I averaged out all the responses, I was asking some people, like, what do you think about tomorrow's game? How you feel? A lot of them were like, well, I thought we were going to do well, but I don't know. SMU impressed me against Baylor, so now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
So, here you go.
I think North Texas I think we're kind of putting SMU on a little bit of a pedestal right now.
We're putting them on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we're probably overrating them a little bit too much.
Well, and, I'm going to interrupt you there. That's probably good, because I think if we played them to open the season, right, if we both were in this opener, we would have had the surprise, because we were like, oh, we beat them 43-6.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then we come out, and then they're not the team that we played last season. They're coming out and scoring points, and we would be on our heels. So now that we saw, maybe this works out for us. We saw them, and so we know, hey, they're good. We need to be on our stuff today. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll respect them. We probably prepared hard for them. It's just a matter of going out there and executing.
Yeah, it's one thing to know. It's another thing to do. All right, so SMU defense versus North Texas offense. Sorry, I am a little bit sleepy. I've got very little sleep this entire weekend. Drove up Thursday night, got in at 2, woke up early, working. Got up today, even did some more work. I'm a busy kind of guy. All right, so SMU defense versus North Texas offense. This is probably the biggest question for us. Is our offense going to be the historically, like, meaning I think we're the worst offense in North Texas history going back like 8 years, or will we be middle of the road? A lot of people comparing Andrew McNulty to Derek Thompson, saying he can do what he did. If we got that, I'd be fine. I'd be happy. That's a bus driving kind of guy. Take us from here to there. You know, nothing flashy, doesn't do any, anything amazing. I would take that all day.
It's very simple in this game for North Texas on offense, is run the ball. If we're able to run the ball, SMU won't be able to stop North Texas, because we'll be able to control the game. Even though we want to go up-tempo, it'll be our own version of up-tempo. It'll allow... SMU's got a very young defense, too. They got a lot of moving parts. They've got a new defensive coordinator. They're running a new defense. So they're still learning what they can do. And they're very aggressive. And they're like North Texas, where their play recognition abilities aren't as good as they can be right now.
Yeah.
And so if we're able to run the ball, we're going to be able to get those, play action passes. Where I saw a couple times where SMU had to respect Baylor's ability to run.
Yeah.
And they went man coverage against them. They'd play action. Baylor would play action. The SMU linebackers would take 2, 3, 4 steps up into the hole to think it's a run, and Baylor's running a quick slant against that.
Right behind him. Yeah,
right behind him, and it's an easy pitch and catch for those fast wide receivers. Now, our wide receivers aren't as good as Baylor's wide receivers.
Yeah, we don't have Katie Cannon and the other guy. Yeah,
we do have talent.
Yes.
And we should be able to win our fair share of battles against their defensive backs. At least I think. I know Carlos Harris will be. I think Turner Smiley is, an upgrade from last year where we were. And I think, obviously T. Gorey, he's a special prospect. Everybody wants to see what he's going to bring to the offense.
Yeah. I mean, we've beat this subject to death. I guess let's talk specifics. SMU didn't look great tackling last year.
Absolutely.
But some of that is because they're going against Baylor's athlete, probably a national champion contender there. Those guys are hard to tackle for anybody, So they didn't look so great tackling, but I think that's definitely something that they will have worked on this week. You guys all sucked in tackling this week. You guys, is extra tackling for you guys this week,
But, I think with SMU still, though, they're still stuck with the fundamentals, and they're still okay if they're working on tackling. What else is going to break down mentally for them?
Yeah.
If they're thinking about, okay, I need to break down, I need to wrap up,
yeah,
I need to do all this stuff, what are they going to forget? Are they going to forget who they need to cover, or could there be a big play in there? That may pop up today.
Yeah, hopefully it slows them down just a little bit, because you're thinking about that and it opens up something else. I like that. I like the positivity there. So you have any just quick predictions for that? On offense, who's going to be, are we going to be successful against their defense, or will they be more successful against our offense?
I think our offense, I'm going to be positive, will be more successful against their defense.
Yeah. The one thing we're not including here, I think we'll, just straight up, if we just lined up and, started from the 20 every time against, I think they'd score more points than we would, obviously. But, the game isn't played that way. So
Right.
The X factor is probably the special teams, and we don't have that like matchup here. We have a really good special teams, and I feel like, you know, that was the X factor in 2013. We scored a lot of points that way, got a lot of game-changing plays that way. That's what I'm counting on to kind of make up the difference between just the pure disparity between their offense and our offense versus you know, defenses.
Yeah, we have a clear advantage on special teams. I think the Go Beat Green guys highlighted this on their podcast too. Trevor Moore, All-American type of kicker. Masek and Keita, they're both their specialty guys. Keita with the Bombers. Masek with the, you know, coffin quarters.
Yeah.
And then Darvin Kidzie as a returner. He's going to be the return guy this year.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of forgets about his ability to return the ball. I mean, the guy was on a SportsCenter top 10 for his return against, you know, Nickel State. But, hey, it doesn't matter. He made the play.
Yeah, somebody has to do it. Biggest X factor. Well, I'm skipping one. This is probably, I guess, controversial. I don't know. SMU's coach versus North Texas coach. And are you counting this as, like, coaching staff?
Let's just talk coaching staff versus coaching staff.
Okay. So you have one of the hottest offensive coaching minds in the nation against probably one of the more respected coaches in mid-major football. Is that a fair assessment of?
I think Dan McCarty's a respected guy.
Okay, so there, yeah. So who has the advantage there?
I think if we're talking tactics, Chad Morris does. If we're talking game management skills and control of the program and all that stuff, I think he probably leans towards Coach Mack. He's been here before. He's done it. You know, he's got the two big-ass championship rings on his hand. So he knows what he's doing as far as that aspect. But the tactics of what Chad Morris is going to do on offense is, you know, maybe gives him a little bit more of an advantage in this game.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, if we were playing in 1975, I'd be like, well, Dan McCarney's going to own him right here because, you know. But I feel like we're a little bit behind the times, and this is where maybe, hey, I did it this way for a long time, and I know what works, kind of, you know, hurts you a little bit. You're a little slower to adopt some of these things, unless you're like Nick Saban. But even Nick Saban is kind of, you know, embracing some of the offensive revolution a little bit. I think Dan McCarney is a practical kind of guy, and he recognizes what needs to change. You know, he's allowing Mike Canales to go a little bit more up-tempo and call more of his game. I don't think Mike Canales is on the level of Chad Morris. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Chad Morris is a little bit more exciting. So I think this disparity, we'll see. Like, you know, right now it's a little bit more even. In a couple years' time, when Chad Morris gets some of his guys in there and, you know, and the excitement about his arrival bears some fruit and he gets some of the guys he wants and some of the, they win some recruiting battles, maybe this will be more...
If he's successful at SMU, I don't think he's sticking around.
Right. Well, that's hopefully. But, I mean, that's the thing is that, like, in that time, getting successful at SMU kind of means that he's going to be successful at our expense. I mean, they're in our backyard. They're right here. We want to be, I think...
Well, we could be successful too, Adam. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that there's going to be a lot of looking over, you know, across the fence and seeing what the you know, SMUs are doing over there, right? Are we do that in basketball. How many times on our Gumming Green forums are people posting the SMU scores talking about how we could have had that, you know? I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, if you wanted Larry Brown and you wanted to be, you know...
Recruiting violations
galore, then, yeah, go ahead and have that.
I don't know. To me, it's, you know, it's like eating a tasty snack and knowing that you're going to pay for it later. Maybe that's not so bad. Anyway, I'm kidding. On the field today, I think Chad Morris has a slight advantage, just an ever so slight advantage when you take it all in totality. How do you feel?
I'm interested to see, even though they lost, they have so much momentum coming from that Baylor game.
Yeah.
All the SMU fans, all their students, they're going to be patting those guys on the back. Oh, you guys are going to kick North Texas's ass on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they've been hearing that. And how does he deal with that as a coach?
Yeah.
With his staff, because I know Dan McCarty, he's going to probably, I hope he's going to have his guys prepared to play for this game. He realizes now it's a rivalry game, and so.
Well, I think he's gone into it the right way. He said, you know, like, they're going to be good, and I think it really worked out for him that SMU played well because now we're looking at the underdogs, and he's already been playing this underdog card this whole time. He's playing the notes the right way. Hey, nobody respects us. Hey, we're this. You got to go out there and improve. Everybody's hungry. So he's doing it the right way. Biggest X factor, and this is a player.
A player for me, Marcus Smith. SMU doesn't have anybody on their roster that can match up with him in the red zone, in the middle of the field, doesn't matter, wherever. How do we take advantage of him? Because we haven't in the past couple of years. We started to a little bit last year, but I want to see Marcus Smith ball out because I don't think SMU can, like I said, they can't match up with him.
Yeah. I think for me, that's I think just overall, I think it's Matt Davis. If he's playing, you know, Johnny Manziel style, running around, making a ridiculous throw, and getting in points, then, you know, SMU has a clear advantage. If he's running around and Dejon Williams style, and he's running around getting turnovers, then we'll have the advantage. So I think it all comes down to how we defend them. I put down for us Andrew McNulty because, you know, he's the quarterback, and that kind of matters for us, especially since it's a big question mark. But he's kind of going to be steady. Like, even when he's at his lowest, we're just going to get some incompletions, not necessarily turnovers. It's not – even Derek Thompson, he'd have a great game, 22, 24, 300 yards, you know, a couple touchdowns and one pick. And then he'd, you know, go against Troy where he couldn't complete 50% of his passes, right? I don't think McNulty has those highs or those lows.
For SMU, I think it's Xavier Jones, the running back. I think he's going to get more carries than Prescott Live. I don't think SMU wants to run Matt Davis as much in this game as they did against Baylor. So I think he's going to get a heavy dose. So probably my biggest X factor is Jones and then Braden West. Those two freshman running backs. They're really good, really talented, fast guys. North Texas has to do their job wrapping those guys up because they can make you miss in the open field.
Yeah.
So tackling those guys, that's a huge X factor for me.
Okay, so let's move on just quickly now. Saturday selections. We need like some music.
I'm going to create something for this for some Saturday selections. I'm telling you, I'm going to get it together. All right, hopefully by next week.
I don't think we have last week's like results. How we did, yeah.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great. I think the biggest one was your upset pick of the week was team called Texas Longhorns versus upset Notre Dame.
Well, I mean, we were lied to, you know, by everybody saying that their offense was going to be different. And, you know, Notre Dame's always overrated, so I thought Charlie Strong could put the tee back in Texas, but he simply removed it, and they played like a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, I think he suspended the tee. So, like, for me, I picked Virginia Tech, and I was almost there, and I'm going to go ahead and say I could have been there, but that Brewer kid, he got injured. So what are you going to do? I'm blaming on that.
And then you couldn't handle Cardell Mickey Ficky Jones and Braxton Miller.
Yeah, Braxton Miller was ridiculous. That spin... I almost jumped out of my seat. I was like, oh, okay, all right, I'm turning this up.
All right, let's get to this week's, though. First game, UTSA gets Kansas State at home. Kansas State's hurting a little bit. I think their quarterback, Zach Ertz, is out.
Yeah, is that – that's like – it's starting in like 10 minutes, right? We're doing this 10:47 in the a.m. So, yeah, it starts in like 10 minutes. I think the line on that one is K-State by 16.5. I think that they're going to roll. They're going to win. I think UTSA has a similar moral victory high going, you know, same as SMU. They feel real good about themselves, and I think that's going to come back to haunt them. They're never good when they feel good.
I think K-State wins, but I'm going to say UTSA covers the points.
Really?
I think it'll be like a 10-point, 14-point victory.
So I'm taking the cover. You're taking the UTSA to cover.
But Kansas State to win.
Right.
UTEP at Texas Tech. UTEP got crushed last week against Arkansas. We both thought that they played better. Texas Tech struggled early against Sam Houston State. They gave up a ton of points at halftime. Can Coach Selfie over there, you know, crush UTEP?
Okay, they're gonna whoop up on UTEP. UTEP didn't look good in their first game. I thought they were really disappointing. I think Texas Tech wins and they cover.
I think Texas Tech wins, but again, I'm going with UTEP covering in that game.
Okay, covering. Okay, next we have Middle Tennessee versus Alabama. And Bama, the line there is 34.5?
Yeah. Middle Tennessee State played well last week, but they didn't play anybody. And Alabama looked pretty good against Wisconsin, so I'll take Alabama and the 34.5 points.
Wow, I'm taking Alabama, but I think, I said they're gonna get like 40 on them, 40 point win. So I think we're both there. Okay, Marshall at Ohio. Marshall is a 3-point favorite. Last we checked.
Frank Solich and the boys, battle of all the green teams there. Yeah. Who you got?
I mean Marshall looked okay last week. They were kind of iffy. They're on the road, and I think they play much better at home. I'm gonna say Marshall wins, and they take the points.
I'm gonna take Marshall too. I like Birdsong. He got banged up a little bit against Purdue. They ran him more than I thought that they would. Don't know too much about Ohio. I know Solich always puts together a good team. They always play well at home. But again, I like Marshall to win that one.
All right, next one, FIU at Indiana. I'm taking Indiana, and the points are gonna blow them out.
I'm gonna take FIU. I don't think Indiana's that well. Good. I think they struggled last week against Southern Illinois. Yeah. It was a close game for a while. FIU went to Central Florida and won. So
here's the thing, Florida. I mean, FIU is going to Indiana. You know, that's a travel. Like going to Central Florida, that's in the backyard. They didn't have to travel really.
FIU is going to play ball control in this game, and they're going to keep it away from Indiana's offense. And I think FIU has a pretty good defense, so I'm going to go with FIU.
Well, look, somebody's saying that they have tickets available, tweeting them out right now. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody was asking about tickets. You can get some tickets from a good friend, Damon Gochner. Sorry, I'm interrupting this one, so I could tweet this. All right, this one. And this is also going to be my upset pick of the week.
Oh!
Yeah. I'm going to take Rice beating University of Texas and stealing our Thunder, because we should have done this. This should have been us last season. I don't know. I don't think Texas is ready. They're in a they're reeling right now, you know? And this should have been us winning.
Texas, 14.5 point favorite. Yes. I don't even know if they could score 14.5 points yet. But that being said, I don't think Rice is as good as people make him out to be. They played a FCS school last week. They beat up on them. Texas, they'll rebound this week. They'll beat Rice. It may be closer. They'll at least cover the point spread. I think they'll win by 2 touchdowns. You know, the big mystery down there, they got the new offensive coordinator. I think finally the kid from Denton Geyer, Gerard Hurd, I think he's going to get more playing time in this game. I think that'll open up Texas's offense a little bit. So
you're going to take them and the points. All right.
Cool. Yep.
Houston versus Louisville. Is this the Georgia Dome?
No, I'm sorry.
It's at the Reliant, right?
No, it's in Louisville.
All right, Houston at Louisville. Line is Louisville by 13.5. Who you got?
This one's going to be kind of interesting. Louisville's got that freshman quarterback that came in at the end of the Auburn game last week and really powered up their offense, gave them, you know, they compared him kind of to Michael Vick with his ability to run and throw.
Yeah.
Houston has Greg Ward, very athletic quarterback who, you know, he ran for over 100 yards and he threw for quite a bit last week in their win. And I'm going to go with Louisville, though, at home. I think Louisville's defense is good enough to slow down Houston's offense.
So are you taking the points?
No, I think Houston will cover the points, but Louisville will win the game.
Same here. That's what I was going to say. I don't see Louisville winning by more than 10. Boise State at BYU. And this one's kind of big because BYU lost their QB.
Yeah. But they have the guy who threw the Hail Mary.
Well, I guess he's good with that.
Even Mormons every now and then have to use a Hail Mary, right?
Yeah. Boise State, they beat, Washington last week?
They did, barely.
So the line here is Boise by 2.5. And this is, it's weird, is BYU's at home. I'm taking BYU.
Taking BYU?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Boise State. Again, the quarterback issues. I like if they had the guy that ran all over Texas. I can't remember his name now.
I can't even think of his name either. He has that weird name, right? Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Taysom Hill. If they had Hill, I would take BYU, but because they don't, I'm going to go with Boise State.
Okay, so Oklahoma at Tennessee. I'm going to say you're taking Boise State. It's 2.5 favorite. They're not going to win by one. You're saying they're going to win by one. Okay.
Right.
Oklahoma and Tennessee. Lines Oklahoma by 1.5. At Tennessee, at Neyland Stadium. Will they do what we're going to do when we go to Tennessee and put like 50 on them?
Tennessee struggled a little bit against Bowling Green. You know, Bowling Green was a good team. They kept it close. They had a very good offense. This game's going to be an offensive explosion. Lots of points scored. Fun game to watch. I'm going to take OU and the points.
OU. Same here. Louisiana State University. Tigers, I think they're called.
Yeah.
They didn't play last week, but they did pay $500,000 to McNeese State.
It's at Mississippi State.
At Mississippi State. LSU is a 4-point favorite.
Mississippi State struggled against Southern Miss. Manny Diaz, everybody remembers him, played. He was the defensive coordinator for Louisiana Tech last year. Yeah, his defense really struggled. Maybe they weren't trying to show anything in that game.
Yeah.
LSU starting Brandon Harris at quarterback, Leonard Fournette at running back. I don't know how LSU could be favored by 4 without even playing a game, but I'm going to take LSU to win.
I'm taking Mississippi State.
No.
Wait, you're taking LSU into points then?
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, the big game of the day. The one, is game day here? Is game day in East Lansing?
They are.
Okay, so you have the Oregon Fighting Ducks versus Sparty at Sparty. And Michigan State is favored by 4 in this one. What do you think, man? Well, Michigan State went to Eugene last season.
Right.
Hung on with them for a little bit, and they got beat.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota was too much in that game last year. This year, Vernon Adams, starting quarterback for Oregon. He played well last week before.
He hurt his finger, index finger last week.
But took a cheap shot from one of his old teammates that were trying to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense really struggled against Eastern Washington. I think Michigan State, their defense is prepared for this game. They've been preparing all summer for spread offense, you know, like Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I like Connor Cook. He's my favorite quarterback out there to go to the Browns next year. So I'm going to take Sparty at home.
I'm going to take Oregon because it's Sparty, and Sparty always cocks it up, you know. So who do you got? You took Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
Plus points. You think points?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So my upset pick of the week, like I said, is this Rice game, and yours is?
Tulsa over New Mexico. New Mexico was favored by 4 points. I dug deep for this upset. I wanted to make sure to not go off the cusp like I did last week with Texas over Notre Dame. I'm going to make sure I get one. Yeah. Tulsa played good. I don't know how the hell New Mexico is favored to win this game, but they were, so I'm going with Tulsa.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to get the layup and get the layup, you know? All right, so what is this? Game of the week.
It's SMU, North Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's the only game I care about.
Saturday night, tonight, 6 p.m., North Texas comes out. The Stormtrooper uniforms all white on white, a white helmet with a green eagle on it.
All right, so...
give me a bold prediction for this game.
Bold prediction. I think I already have my bold prediction down. It's something like...
Andrew McNulty setting a school record.
That was 800 yards passing, probably like 9 touchdowns in the first half. I think that's what it's going to be.
Do you want to add a bonus one in there? Or?
Maybe I'll add a bonus in there. Okay, so... North Texas will lead at halftime 28-14.
Wow, that's
pretty
big.
Come out... Stick them in the mouth.
My bold prediction is I got Jeffrey Wilson going for over $150 in this game.
Jeff Wilson, $150.
My bonus would be Turner Smiley catches the first passing touchdown.
I like that. Those are good. Those are good ones. See, I'm already feeling it. I'm drinking a Kool-Aid. All right. I like that. So, like I said, I think we're going to win this game. I feel like we're going to win it. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that we're going to win 34-31.
34-31.
That's my pick. That's a ridiculous pick, but I'm picking it. That's mine. That's me. That's me. I'm owning it. And you can yell at me if you see me out there and you're like, what the hell are you thinking? because we can't even score 5 points out here, you know? So what do you got?
This game is huge for North Texas. It sets the tone for the entire season. You beat SMU tonight, there's a good chance we beat Rice next week, and we get rolling.
Yeah.
But I just can't see it. I'm not going to predict us to win this game because
weren't
I don't...
you predicting us to win like 2 weeks ago?
I was. I was, but look. Andrew McNulty, until he proves me wrong,
yeah,
I just don't see us being able to go on the road, even though it'll be a home crowd, and beat a better SMU team. I think it'll be close, and we'll end up losing, you know, 35-28.
35-28. That's probably that's a good score. Greg.
I know people are going to hate me for that pick or whatnot, but again, if Andrew McNulty comes out, and I want him to do it tonight, I want him to ball out.
Yeah.
I want him to be the player that all the coaching staff believes that he can be. But until he does that, I'm going to have my serious doubts about this program and the direction that we're headed.
Here's where my hope comes from, right? So last season we ended at UTSA, right? It's on the road. We're not good on the road. And, our offense is terrible. And UTSA's defense has some talented dudes. It's like Ashad Mabry, the dude like on the Saints now, or the guy in the practice squad or whatever. They had a conference player of the week or player of the year, the safety dude. They had some good, talented players, and, you know, they can make some plays on defense. Is SMU's defense as good or as talented as UTSA's was in that final game? No. I think unquestionably no. And so
talking about a game that didn't mean shit last year.
I'm just saying it did mean something. It was the last game of the season. It was kind of a little rivalry. They came over and they beat us when it mattered, right? And so some of those guys definitely cared. They were talking mess on Twitter. They were going back and forth. It mattered, at least from pride standpoint, right? It was not just they just get out of here and end the season. You saw Reggie Pegram walking off the field. He looked like somebody kicked him in the gut, right? You know, so. That's what I'm saying. Is that, and our offense played well against that really talented UTSA team. Now we weren't you know, setting off fireworks. We weren't setting any records, but we played well. And so I'm like, can we go to SMU that doesn't have nearly the talent and do something similar? Yes, we can. We can. Will we? I don't know. It's different. But can we? Yes. Yes, yeah. We can. It's going to be more raucous here because it's the opening game. Everybody's feeling good. But there's also going to be more North Texas fans, more hopeful North Texas fans. Like, I was there. My mom was yelling, go me green. We were shouting and stuff in the dome, the Alamo Dome. But, you know, again, nobody was really excited. We were just like, come on, please don't just embarrass us out here. It's kind of what the feeling was. Out here, everybody's going to be feeling good. So we're not going to be just outnumbered. It's going to be almost a home game. I don't even want to give RV the credit or the satisfaction to even say that. But we're going to have good representation out there. So I feel good. That's why I feel like we can win it.
Yeah, those are good points. The inconsistencies at the quarterback position scare me the most in this game. Because McNulty has to be better than he was last year if we're going to win this game.
I agree.
And I'm just not sold on it yet. And again, prove me wrong. You know, I want to be wrong tonight.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I want to be so right. I want to be, like I said, hey, we had questions that 1 year, right? Was it 2007 or 2008 when we came over here to SMU and then put up a bunch of yards? It was crazy. It was a ridiculous offensive output. And if we could get some of that, we don't need 600 yards, but, you know, I'd like more than 250 yards. 300 yards passing, couple scores, maybe a pick mixed in there. I think that's solid outing.
One of the best feelings you could have as a fan is walking out of an opponent's stadium, a road game, and your team just won. I want to have that feeling tonight.
Yeah, I know. I wanted that feeling in San Antonio last season, especially after walking out the previous one, 2013, walking out of Apogee, and it was cold, and I didn't even care because if we won, we were going to be in a conference title game. And we walked out, and so as soon as we lost, the cold got colder, right? It felt more miserable than ever, and they were all cheering at UTSA, and it felt like somebody beat me up, left me for dead in there, and that's it. That's what it felt. That was an awful feeling. And I can't wait to have all those SMU bros feeling like that. Because they lose this one. There's no moral victory in this one, right?
Right.
That's 2 years in a row you got spanked by the little school up north. So I like it. I like it.
Good deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for us. I see we have some listeners. Thanks for listening. Again, you can get to Greg on Twitter, MGN_breakdown. You can get to me on Twitter. I'm Mean Green Nation. We will be, we do this, we're going to try to do this every week. We might even, maybe squeeze in a little recap podcast tomorrow, if we can, a little 30-minute thing, just kind of post-mortem, if we can.
All right.
But no promises there. We'll definitely be at the game.
Enjoy the game tonight. Beautiful football weather.
Yes, I know. It's great. And my wife was looking at the weather. She's like, oh, it's not going to be hot or whatever. I don't know. I'm just like, whatever. I'm just going to be at the game. I don't even care if it's hot or cold.
Yeah.
Last season, it was, like, murderously hot. We were, like, it was, like,
oh, yeah. 11 o'clock kickoff, 98 degrees outside.
Yeah. Hey, we won there. We'll win in the heat, and we'll win in the 7 o'clock sunshine, you know?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.